This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier on the Mac and Bone Show.
Panther preview? That's who you were hoping for?
What's his one game of the year he's going to get for the Panthers?
When Bone set up Ian Eagle, I think he was hoping that Ian would call Duke winning the South region, and he would be very happy to speak to him.
Ian and I had a deal that if a team from the Carolinas got three, he'd come on early this week, so I was preparing for... You know, the weekend went along. I thought, Ian's going to talk Duke on Tuesday.
I
had to send a text that I never thought I'd send. Do you want to talk about State in the Final Four? I also tried to get Raft on, and I sent a text, and it turns out I do not have Raft's number. I have a guy named Judd in New Jersey's number. So Judd in New Jersey might join us on Thursday.
Well, he's probably interested in Duke. Maybe you talk to him about Duke, Judd.
Nice guy, but not Raft. He might know Raft.
Bone has now, for people out there scoring at home, Bone has now ignored that joke on the air and off the air.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know it's even happening.
Let's bring in Ian Eagle. He called the South region. He had State advancing and beating Duke on Sunday and did a great job with Raft and Grant Hill. And now they head to the Final Four to get ready to call him. Bone, you said it. Amazingly enough, NC State in the Final Four. He is Ian Eagle, CBS. Ian, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, everybody. Ian Eagle, Grant Hill, Tracy Wolfson, and Judd with you here at the Final Four.
And you know what? I know the number's wrong now, Ian, but I refuse to take him out of my phone. So now I've got Raft as a contact, but it's really a guy named Judd.
Oh, man. I have had text chains. I'm not exaggerating here. I've had text chains with other people that I have no idea who they are, and I've maintained the chain for 3 years, and I still don't know who they are.
Do you chime in?
And it's like a game of 21 questions. I'll just like, well, how's everybody on your end?
Maybe I
get a morsel of information back, and I will not give in. I will not accept defeat. I will not say, like, oh, lost my phone. Who dis? I'm not doing that.
I respect that.
And a couple years ago, I thought I was texting Steph Curry with the Charlotte number, and it turns out it was a guy that listens to the show that has Steph Curry's number now. And I never, and then it turns out he's kind of a troll, but I never took him out of my phone as Steph Curry. So I'm doing the show one day, and all of a sudden I'm getting cussed out by Steph Curry. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, why does Steph Curry? Oh, it's the other guy. It's not really Steph Curry.
It's Rick.
Yeah. Rich and Judd. Rich and Judd got a problem with you now, Bone. Ian, how amazed are you at what NC State has done over the last 9 games?
Oh, my gosh. It really is one of those Hollywood-type scripts when you think about it, because you have a few things in this storyline that you can't just dismiss. Their coach was getting fired. Kevin Keats was done. But they win the ACC tournament, so his contract automatically kicks in a 2-year extension. So just think for a moment what was going on in that program that everybody thought they were finished. Head coach, assistants, training staff, all these people associated with the team, where you start now thinking about, all right, well, what am I going to do? My kid's in middle school. I might have to move. So that's affecting lives. All right, that happens.
Yeah.
DJ Burns, you presume that the college career ends, and as likable as he is, it kind of ends with a whimper and nobody's talking about him and the country's not familiar with him. And now, just flash forward 3 weeks, everybody knows this dude. Everybody knows his story. His popularity is gaining momentum with each day that goes by. He's getting opportunities outside of basketball based on his likability and the fact that he lights up the screen. And then the obvious one, the program has been dormant. It needed a jolt in the worst way. 1983, the last national championship. There have been some moments of success, but nothing like this. This is a Cinderella run without a team that wants to see themselves as a Cinderella. And I get it, but you have to at least – acknowledge that it's been unlikely and it has been highly entertaining.
Ian, what's the biggest difference basketball-wise from where they were that Tuesday of the conference tournament to now? Yeah. What have they found here that's been sort of the formula how they're winning games?
Connectivity. They're playing for one another. They're sharing the ball. It doesn't matter who makes the play, just as long as somebody makes the play. Take a Ben Middlebrooks as an example.
Yeah.
The guy in the NCAA tournament ends up scoring 21 points in a game that they needed to win in order to advance. And he's not someone they've leaned on to score. And then even the last game, the unsung effort of Middlebrooks to come in to be a pest for Kyle Filipowski, to get under his skin, to draw fouls on him, to get some big rebounds, to run the floor. Yeah, the box score isn't going to show that he had a huge game. I thought he had a huge impact. O'Connell, if he doesn't hit the three against Virginia in the ACC tournament, they're not here. It's as simple as that. They're not here. The sense that I got in talking to Kevin Keith, to talking to people associated with the team, is it just took a while. They had eight new players. It didn't mesh. O'Connell, who they were hoping would provide leadership, it wasn't automatic. He had to feel his way through. And the fact that they've now gotten to this stage, they're emboldened. They believe in one another. This is real. This is no longer a nice little story. They have a chance to win the national championship. And to me, it would be one of the most shocking runs in tournament history if they can pull it off.
Hey, Ian, how are Duke fans supposed to feel about what just happened in that regional? Because a team...
I'm right here.
How's Ian supposed to feel?
How do I feel, Ian, today?
Because the team they beat in Houston was one that I was like, oh, that's the worst matchup for them, right? You know, we've been questioning Duke's toughness, and Houston's as tough as they come. And I obviously the Shed injury, you know, helped them. But, like, to beat Houston and then lose to State, what did you make of Duke's, you know, uneven weekend?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately for Duke, the worst thing happened for them. They played an opponent familiar with them, not intimidated by them, not thinking about the name across the uniform, Duke, so they didn't really care about the mystique. If they played anybody else, that would have been a factor. Not saying that automatically Duke wins because they just show up, but I do think that plays a role, especially as you get deeper and deeper in the NCAA tournament. The fact that NC State knew these guys, had beaten these guys, it was fresh on their mind, they just were not affected. They were very much at home, and when they started making their run in the second half, you could feel it. I mean, I said it at one point on the air. Duke had the lead. They go down by four, and this is a bold thing to say because it's only a four-point game at the time, but I could feel it. You could feel that it was slipping away from them, and the fact that they were only up six at the break, I remember going to the back. We had a room set up for me, Grant, Raph, and Tracy, and I turned to them and I said, how are they only up six? They should be up 12 or 14. Yep, and that obviously reared its ugly head because they just didn't have the cushion to work with.
Ian, how much of a factor on Saturday will the officiating be? Edie versus Burns in the middle? This feels like a heavy Gene Steratore day for you guys.
Yeah, immense. Gene will be in person, so no checking in with Gene in New York. He'll be there. We'll be able to look at him, see him, and that does help in many ways, believe it or not, on the communication side, because you can get a sense of what he's feeling as these plays happen. I think it's immense. I'm not one that often gets caught up in the officiating, and I just think it's part of the game, and I accept it as such. Doesn't mean that you don't point out when something is wrong or something is false. But it's not something I belabor over the course of a game because at some point you do have to move on and call the action. But there's no getting around it. When you're talking about two huge bodies and the fact that Edie and Burns are gonna bang in there. There's no avoiding it. I wonder if they cross match. I wonder if NC State ends up using Middlebrooks a bit more and if they have to use Diarra on Edie because they don't want to get Burns into foul trouble. That may happen. And in addition, you know, Burns is comfortable out on the wing. He's comfortable dishing it. I don't know if Purdue wants to send Zach Edey out 15, 17 feet away from the rim. That's not what they're looking to do. So I think there will be some game within the game, some strategy to see whether or not those two guys actually see one another play in, play out. There's going to be some mixing and matching in this one.
No, those are great points. The other game, UConn has been so dominant, it's been unbelievable, but yeah. That hasn't stopped a couple of transplant Bama fans here in the great state of North Carolina wanting to talk basketball instead of football for a change and telling us we got something for UConn. They are the type of team you saw the other night, Ian, that can hit 16, 17 threes. Yeah. What kind of chance do you give them to put up a fight against UConn, unlike other teams?
Well, they're really explosive. So the fact that they could score 95, 96 points, you can't just discount that. They can do it. The issue for them had been stopping people during the regular season. They've done a better job of it in the NCAA tournament. The blocks per game, highest in the field. So getting to the rim against them, they're going to test you, no doubt about it. I like their versatility. I love their guard play. Sears is just a pleasure to watch. He just has such a high IQ. He makes the right play. He isn't afraid of the moment. And the fact that, you know, it's not lost on any of us that this was supposed to happen a year ago, and it's happening now. Alabama had to retool. Only three players remain that were true contributors from last year. They had to make a bunch of sweeping changes to their team, and the fact that this is the team, this iteration, gets to the Final Four shows you that Nate Oates really has it rolling and has a good feel for what his team is good at. I think, obviously, they're playing the best team in the country. I had UConn in the first two rounds in Brooklyn. They look unstoppable right now. What they did against Illinois at the tail end of the first half into the second half is unheard of. 30-0 run in Division I basketball doesn't happen that often, and it certainly doesn't happen at the NCAA tournament. And it take it one step further, it doesn't happen in the Elite Eight. You're not talking about a 1-16 matchup. Yeah. So this team's a true juggernaut. They have every box check. Klingon has been incredible. Newton is fantastic. Spencer, tremendous addition. Castle, exactly what they needed. Doesn't have to score to have an impact in the game. Caravan is better than he was a year ago. I just think their team is better. They won a title last year, and normally you would never say, well, oh, they're better this year. They are.
Yeah, I think
they're
you're right.
They're a better basketball team this year than the one that won the championship last year. And that's saying a lot.
It's amazing. By the way, when I go on one of my sports gambling sites, Ian, do I bet?
Hey, it's legal now. We're legal in North Carolina now.
Do I go over or under the amount of references you guys make to DJs during the state game?
Is that a prop bet? Can we do that?
I think they have it set 32.5 right now. I think they have it set.
I'm going to say that I'm one that doesn't like to go back to the well, and I am very well aware of that. I'm going to have to take it probably in a new direction. I can't speak for Bill and Grant. I think they have no shame. They might go back to it. I, for one, probably will go in a new direction, and I've got to figure out what that is in the next four days.
I can't wait to see the direction.
Our mutual friend Zach Gelb of CBS Sports Radio is a weekly guest of ours in football. He was on Twitter during the game bragging that he was feeding you DJ lines.
He did text me. There was one line that I already had in the back of my head, so I didn't want to tell Zach. Like, dude, I'm already on this. You think this is my first rodeo? But it's important to empower people.
Yes.
And I want Zach to feel good about himself. I want him to attack the day. So I'm going to let him run with it.
Hey, man. Well, no one in our industry, whether TV, radio, has earned this opportunity more than you have to be calling the biggest game. So you and Grant and Tracy and my friend Judd, we're wishing you guys the best this weekend.
The funny part, as we know, Raf, his big call is onion. But your friend Judd, his big call is radishes.
When I first started in radio, we used to do more hotel cold calling, and that seems a little bit creepier now. But you know, you did it. Like, you have to try to figure out where guys are staying. They used to have me try to find hotels and the hotel bars to try to find Raft back in the day.
Just ring the hotel bar.
Years ago, so my first year at FAN when I was producing, I wanted to get Chris Sabo, the former Cincinnati Red, on the show. I called a hotel. I asked for Chris Sabo's room. The phone rings. He picks up. And I said, hey, Chris. He goes, yeah. I go, hey, it's Ian Eagle from WFAN. How you doing tonight? He's like, what? I said, oh, yeah. How you doing tonight? He said, I'm eating dinner. I said, oh, what are you having? A little Italian, Chinese? He goes, what? I go, how about I call you back after dinner? He's like, yeah, whatever. So he hangs up. I call back in an hour. I do the same spiel with him again, and he actually came on the show.
So look at you.
Credit. Didn't blow it off. He didn't block the phone. He did the show, and he did have Italian food. He confirmed.
You called it. There you go. Way back in the day, I found Joe Buck at a hotel in Los Angeles, and I thought, this isn't going to go well. And I'm like, oh, how you doing there, Mr. Buck? I was like, you know, I was like 19 years old. And he answers the phone and says, you found me in a hotel in Los Angeles, and you want me to go on your show? And I was like, he goes, absolutely I will. That's hard work right 100%. There.
And he respected it.
I've never forgot that moment. Yep.
He respected
that's
it.
That's great.
All right. That's
and
cool.
Did you had a much higher voice back then?
Yeah. How you doing there, Mr. Buck? Yeah.
Hey, what have you on the radio?
Ian, I think you need to use that call for your first Final Four on TV.
What if your voice turns into that during the end of the game?
That's what you need.
I get a Peter Brady right in the middle of the show.
It's your chance to pull a Nance on Monday night, and that voice comes out.
NC State wins it all.
Oh, my God, I can't believe what just happened. That would be an amazing viral sensation. All right, man. We're happy for you. Have fun. We'll be watching. Appreciate you.
Is it Mr. Bill doing the play-by-play? Who is it?
All right, Ian. Thank you, buddy. Man.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant Replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Just in case you missed it earlier this week on the Wes and Walker Show.
The Thurl Bailey. Author of, not only host of the Thurl Talk podcast, also author as well, Utah Jazz pre- and post-game analyst, and member of that 1983 championship team. And you can see, if you follow him on Twitter, at Big T Bailey, he's embracing Sidney Lowe, also a part of that squad. And next to it is the Sports Illustrated cover back in April of 1983. Thurl, the last time you guys had this kind of success, you were on the team. NC State basketball, it's always been revolving around David Thompson, Jimmy V squad, where you guys pull off this miraculous run. What's it like for you guys to see a real successful postseason chapter 40 years after you made that run?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm still kind of stuck on Wes and Duran. He was going a little deep for me, but
he was going real deep. I think all of us were a little weirded out by that.
But hey, it's that time of year, right? Where I think what we proved back in '83 was that anything can happen in March Madness, and so the memories are pretty much always there because I feel like I'm always talking about it, even though it may not be NCAA tournament time, whether somebody else brings it up or not. But people just gravitate to a great journey and a great story. And so this one feels so eerily similar, and it just happens to be my alma mater. So, yeah, there's so many fond memories. And a lot of people will focus on the final game, you know, the epitome of what the tournament's all about. But I think sometimes overlooked is the actual journey it takes to get there and things that you've got to go through, especially the failures and the tough moments you've got to get through to help make that magic happen.
Thurl, I've talked about it a couple times. Sometimes people will try to make a stretch as to compare something eerily similar. Oh, it was 72 degrees the same day they did this 34 years ago. That's not the case here, though, Thurl. Like, it's nuts just how similar your runs have been, at least up until this point, with NC State reaching the Final Four. Do you guys have a group chat, like with you and some of the other members of that squad right now? And have you been talking about what's going on?
Yes, we do. Well, we talk all year long. It's funny the things that we talk about, and you know, we have Cozell McQueen, who's our designated news update guy, who sends us out everything from updates in politics to sports. But that's one thing that we created. We created a bond and a family, and it just seems like every few years, we try to get together. Of course, we know we lost Coach Valvano and we lost Lorenzo Charles, and we've lost a few others. So we try to, you know, to stay connected and keep that bond going. But recently, it's been blowing up, guys. It's been blowing up about some of our guys have been able. They went to Dallas and they were able to be invited by Coach Keats to speak with the team. We all got to meet a younger team last year when we went back for the 40th anniversary and met guys like DJ Burns and just knew there was something special going on there.
Thurl, when you talk about this NC State team, and everybody points to the fact that this team seems to have flipped the switch on. It was 17-14 at one point, 2 out of 9 wins down the stretch, and then all of a sudden now they look like world beaters. And so when you look at what you guys were able to do as well, what is that like watching this NC State team and the belief that they have and the belief that you guys had to have being the underdogs that you were in 1983?
But isn't that something about sports? I mean, that's what sport actually does, especially team sports. It just creates something, you know, something in a world of analytics, in a world of those people who are heavily. Now, numbers mean something, but there's some things you just can't quantify, some things you just can't put on paper. You can't put a figure to it. And a lot of times, you know, some people call it luck, some people call it good fortune, but sometimes things happen at a significant time, much like Derek Wittenberg breaking his foot against Virginia back in 83, and we thought our season was over. But what came out of that pit moment, that I call it, because that's where we were in the pit as a team, we felt like we were done. Other guys seemed to blossom and flourish, and like, you know, Ernie Myers, George McClain, and Cozell and Lorenzo, those guys just stepped it up, and it started with leadership. You know, Coach Keats has done a great job with that group, and much like Jim Valvano did with us. So there's some things that just can't be measured. And so I think as much as we focus on talent, you got to have that. There's no question. But there's a time sometimes when something unquantifiable kind of comes together and it just clicks. You know, the hope is that you can continue to carry that as long as you can, and that mixed with talent, it'll get you to the championship.
And so talking about that championship, again, we know the opponent that you guys went up against in 1983. Walk us through, I guess, you guys get there, you win in the Final Four versus Georgia. Then you know that you're taking on Houston, a team that everybody has pretty much crowned as the champion. Was there a moment where you guys was like, hey, we can do this? Or by the time you got to the Final Four and won it, were you guys like, hey, nobody else thinks we're going to win this game, but we know we're going to go in here and win this game?
Well, you know, at a certain point when you have momentum, there's not a lot of pressure on you when nobody believes but you, right? I mean, there's when your coach is in the media saying, look, we might not shoot the ball till Wednesday because we don't want this Houston Pajama team to just run us into the ground. And if you remember the Houston-Louisville dunk fest, that's exactly what made them thrive. That's how they played. They were one of the only teams really in college basketball that was so dominant in that area. So, you know, it was up to the coaches to figure out the strategy and make it clear to us. But I think everybody thought we were going to hold it. But Coach Valvano came in the locker room prior to the game and just came in storming and hitting the chalkboard. Remember those? Hit the chalkboard. and just said, you think we're going to hold this bleeping ball? You're out of your mind. So we're going to play our game and run on opportunity. We're going to keep them from dunking the ball because that's what they thrive on. So, I would say we had confidence collectively, but individually, when we went to our first practice and once we got to the Final Four and we were done practicing, and here comes Phi Slamma Jamma down the stairs of the pit with sunglasses on and Walkmans on their ears, I think some of us were a little nervous because, you know, they were actually looking like an NBA team masquerading as college players. But I think overall, collectively, we knew we were there. And we had gotten through some really amazing games. So why not go ahead and finish the job?
All right, Thurl, we know that Wes has an interesting fondness of Duran Duran. You just mentioned the Walkmans there. What was in Thurl Bailey's potential Walkman if he had one, getting ready for the best run in NCAA tournament history? What musical artist got you inspired as much as anybody?
Oh, man, I had a mixture of stuff, man. I had Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There you go.
Get me going. Do you remember? I had Prince going on. I had a lot of different stuff. Kenny Loggins. Matter of fact, I remember when we won it, I think our Shining Moment song might have been This Is It by Kenny Loggins. And so I had a very eclectic selection of folks that I listened to, from jazz to rock. Rap was just getting started back then. But, man, I had Funkadelic. I had all kinds of things going on.
I love the idea. Earth, Wind, and Fire holds up, too, if you want to get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Let me see Kenny Loggins.
I know. Yeah, there. Wes, speaking of eclectic taste, that's Wes Bryant.
80s baby, man.
There you go. Thurl Bailey joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Of course, the member of the NC State Championship team in 1983. Thurl, you mentioned all of the weird similarities on both of these runs we're talking about. NC State has to take on a 7-4 multi-time Player of the Year award winner and Zach Edey. It's the last time somebody won multiple Player of the Year awards since, 7-4 Ralph Sampson, when you guys had to play him twice. That just going into a little bit more of the weird fantasy spooky type of stuff. How does that happen, Thurl? How do you beat somebody like Ralph Sampson, who was way ahead of his time, what's the game plan going in against that guy that is clearly the number one overall pick and something we hadn't seen before?
Well, obviously we had a strategy. The coaches had a strategy drawn up, and it was really crazy because Coach V was a risk taker. That's what he was. He was a risk taker, and it wasn't those kind of risks that really was going to sell the farm. But strategically, sometimes he would change. If something didn't work, he would just throw it out, throw it in the garbage, and try something else on the fly. And sometimes we go 1-3 in a chaser. Sometimes we would go. I remember on Ralph Sampson, we kept me in front of Ralph. We had Cozell McQueen behind him, and then we had the other guys playing in the zone. I mean, it was just crazy. We hadn't beaten them during the ACC regular season, right? They beat us when Derek broke his foot, and then Derek came back against them in Virginia, and we still lost. So that was a tough mountain to climb, literally. Ralph Sampson, he was ahead of his time, but to be able to beat them and figure them out in the ACC tournament once and then have to go at them again, and you can understand what a tough task that was. But listen, we were confident, and Coach V would always say, if we have an opportunity to win, hey, we might not win every game, but we need to put ourselves in a position that we can win. And that's how we thought, that's what we did. And people talk about Zach Edey, and he is a great player, and I'm not sure anybody's figured him out yet, but We had Ralph Sampson, and then we ran into a guy named Hakeem Olajuwon in the championship.
Thurl Bailey joins us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline, Utah Jazz pre- and post-game analyst and NC State legend. You can follow him on Twitter at Big T Bailey. Thurl, you know, because you guys won that title in 83. So when you look at this roster that NC State has right now, what do you see in them that you feel like could give them that championship edge?
Well, of course I see talent, though they wouldn't be there. You don't get there just by luck, the luck of the draw. You need anchors. You need leaders. DJ Burns, I think, anchors that team very, very well. I think what Coach Keith has done is they have a great support system around him. And actually knowing how to manage that is the task, right? I mean, a couple of games, DJ got in foul trouble early. You've got other guys who can come in and hold down the fort and keep the game close until he can come back in and do his thing. And it's not totally about scoring for him. He's got great vision out there. But I like the patience in which they play. If they can run when they can, and a lot of times, DJ's not the guy who's going to be running the fast break. But if you can run on opportunity, you can play the pace of game that you play and put the other team at a disadvantage. Those kind of strategies that Coach Keats has drawn up has helped them tremendously. But it's all about the players going out and following it.
Now, I don't think size-wise you guys had a guy like DJ Burns on your roster, but he's become such a big presence for them in the local and national landscape. Did you guys have a guy on your team that you feel like could be comparable to DJ Burns in that way?
I do. I think we had Lorenzo Charles. I think Lorenzo was he had a man's body, a grown man's body, and he could maneuver it very well, especially inside in the paint. He had a mid-range shot. But the fact that he drew attention down low, along with myself, but we take advantage of that. I think skill-wise, all around in the post, DJ might have a little advantage in that, but the strength of Lorenzo and the fact that he could run the floor as well, there's a lot of similarities between what the two brought to the team. And then we had size as well. I was basically a small forward with Cozell McQueen at the center, and Lo Charles, with his size, he could play post and kind of mid-range area, and I could draw the defense out or inside. So, our team was well connected. We had two great leaders in Derek and Sidney at the guard. So you talk about similarities. I mean, they are there when you want to go down the line. But, I think Lorenzo may have been the closest thing to what DJ is supplying for the Wolfpack.
Thurl Bailey, NC State legend, a part of that 1983 championship team, joining us now on Wes and Walker, Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. A couple more questions for you, Thurl, before we get you out of here. I watched the Survive and Advance doc as soon as they were going to the Final Four. Pulled it right back up and was just bathing in all that nostalgia. How much did you like the Survive and Advance doc? Like, so much of it was you guys just all hanging out, but do you feel that doc covered the run, how you would like that team to be remembered?
Yeah, I do. Derek Wittenberg spearheaded that, and I thought the story was told the right way. There were some things in there that were personal for all of us, and it wasn't just about us. I think it was more than just about that run. It was about people we lost that we loved, but it was centered around something magical, something great that was accomplished, and something that doesn't happen very often, that anybody, doesn't matter whether you love sports, whether you're in the sports, you like basketball, whatever it is, that story connects to every human being, because it is the kind of story that we need. It's a story about hope. It's a story about loss and love. It's a story about legacy. You look at what the Jimmy B Foundation has done since it was started, and since Coach V has passed, and Pam Balbano has carried that legacy along with her daughters. Pam Balbano Strasburg called me the other day when I was on a broadcast. And I called her back after a timeout, one of the Jazz games. And it was just a pleasure to know that we have that connection forever. And her husband were on the phone, and we were all just taking a couple of minutes to just enjoy what was going on. So that 30 for 30, I think, as people come up to me, two people came up to me in the gym today at my workout and said, I watched that for the first time with my kids. And they weren't around, but, they understand it. They can connect with it. It made me tear up. And so people like to be connected to that kind of journey. And it's really, again, it's really eerily similar to what these guys are building under Coach Keith.
That it is. Eerily similar. That's Thurl Bailey, member of that 1983 championship team. He's also an author, host of the Thurl Talk podcast, and you can catch him on Utah Jazz broadcast, pre- and post-game analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at Big T Bailey. Hell, he's such a Renaissance man, we even got him to sing for us a little Earth, Wind, and Fire. So that's the Thurl Bailey that we like having on the show. Thurl, thank you so much for the time. It's been a great pleasure, and good luck to your Wolfpack this weekend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
Tuned in to Instant Replay when the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.